Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Well, welcome back. Welcome back. We're here today. I am here alone, but not really. I have a guest, and I also have you, because I'm going to ask you to call in. This is going to be a subject that I think we're all going to enjoy. It's something quite, many of us think of it as new and trendy and very popular. But we're going to go in for a deep dive into this, because we will find out that this is not new. It's trendy, yes, but definitely not new. This has a long history. And what am I talking about? I am talking about ice and cold baths and what they do for us and what they do for our immune system and what they do for our DNA and how they help our mood. So we're going to be exploring that quite in depth. There's a long history from Egyptians who wrote about it to Greeks to Hippocrates, who felt that the hot and cold thermoregulation of the body was one of a major way of healing the body. And, you know, what did they know? But now, with science, and science looking at this, what happened? We're finding out that he was quite accurate, because we're seeing changes in all levels of our body. But before that, I want to bring it home and bring it to what a reality of cold baths do for us. I want to talk to, guess who? My nephew, who's been doing cold baths. And I don't know. Hi, Joe. You there?
Hey, Corinne. Yeah, I'm here. Thank you for having me.
I'm going to ask you to speak up, please.
Sure. Can you hear me better now?
A little bit. You need to speak up a little more. Yell at me. You're used to it. I'm your auntie.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Not well, unfortunately.
Okay. Hold on. Let me take it off.
Yeah.
How about now? Is that better?
That's a little bit better. I just want to tell you something. The music that started the program, your father wrote and played and sent to me. Hello? Whoops. Well, his father wrote and played the music and sent it to me. I guess he'll come back on. And so let's begin talking about it. When we take cold baths or showers, our first reaction is shock. Our bodies go into a little bit, a low level of shock, and we go into a low level depending on a flight reaction. And what happens? Our body releases adrenaline. It releases noradrenaline and epinephrine. We're ready for a fight or flight reaction. And then, Joe, are you there?
I'm trying to get him back.
Oh, thank you. And then when our body releases that, we then begin, if we're breathing, we begin to slightly relax. We relax. We calm. We don't really want to stay too long. It doesn't take a long period of time to get the benefits of cold baths. The studies of Dr. Susan Soreberg from Scandinavia, the Scandinavian countries. Her studies show that it takes about 2 to 3 minutes maximum to get the maximum response that you're going to get out of the cold bath. Your body starts to relax into the cold bath.
Okay, and then, he's back.
Thank you. It starts to shiver. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Corrine. I'm back.
Great. Great. And again, please try to speak up. So what happened, what I was saying was that the music that starts the show, your father wrote for me.
There you go.
And played.
It's a and family
sent
affair
it over
here.
To me. What?
It's a family affair.
It's all, this show is a family affair. There's no doubt about it. So tell me, you've been doing cold baths or ice baths or cold baths. And what are you feeling? Why did you start?
Well, I read a couple of books, I think, that you had sent to me. And really, you know, I was, you know, kind of in a cycle of, you know, feeling, getting sick every couple of months, you know, every 8 to 12 weeks, you know, I was coming down with something. And so I started to do some research and read a couple of books. And so we implemented a cold bath kind of in December, January of this year.
Wow. You know, it's counterintuitive in the fact that you really don't want to get cold because you might catch a chill and catch a cold. But you're saying that doing cold baths enhanced your immune system and it changed this pattern of getting ill every couple of months.
Well, yeah. I mean, my anecdotal is that, you know, as we were going into the winter months and that of finishing out going into the spring, I mean, I went through with the family and the kids were getting sick, you know, kind of in that pattern, sniffles here and there and some chest colds. And I didn't get sick at all this past winter and spring. So, you know, that was beneficial to not have to miss work. But then also I started to kind of see that I was a little more clear after taking the bath, you know, in terms of mental clarity. Certainly when you're in, you know, when you're in 50-degree water, all of your senses are honed, to survival at that point. But, you know, I do think that, you know, part of that, the regime of doing the cold baths every morning or jumping up in the river up in Northern California, I think that's at a 52, 53 degrees, really helped with my immune system. That's where I noticed it the most.
How about now my sister told me you were having lots of aches and pains. And that you felt a difference from the cold baths.
Yep. And this is something that I actually, you know, we had done cold baths because I was a collegiate wrestler, and we were doing cold baths, you know, during season, and that really helped. And, you know, I'd kind of gotten away from that. I'd forgotten about that. But as, you know, in the wintertime, you're kind of doing more things, and I do jiu-jitsu pretty consistently. And I was starting to feel my age a little bit in jiu-jitsu. And doing the cold baths also kind of helped with some of that soreness. You know, if I were to put a percentage on it, maybe like I felt probably half as sore as I normally would have been. From doing the cold baths. And, you know, I think you could probably tell us the science a little bit better, but, you know, I think that just the
the coldness and then the flushing out as you start to warm up of all of that blood and, you know, all the lactic acid that have been built up, really, really, really helped, from a soreness perspective as well.
And how about mood or attitude? It is a family affair. Now the dog's getting into it. So, so how about mood or focus, or did you feel anything with that, or energy throughout the day?
I think the clarity was a little bit, you know, was sharper. And I've continued as we're getting into the summer months. I'm in a high stress job now, and I do see that the mental clarity seems to be a little bit sharper. You know, now I've implemented some supplements now recently, and so, you know, that could be a part of it. But even when I was doing it January, February, March, certainly having a little bit more of a clearer recall of events, in short-term memory. And then, you know, it's like from a kind of a mood perspective, you know, you do the 5 minutes and you come out, you know, really, you come out happy, happy that you did it, because it's like there's some anticipation building before, right? So the way I do it, you know, in the bath, I'll do it in the bath, or I'll do it just in the shower, where it's just a cold shower at 6 a.m. And there's some kind of anticipation that comes in front of that, like some anxiety that comes from doing this. And then all of a sudden you do it and you feel so much better that then from a mental perspective, you say, I'm glad I did that. Right? I'm glad I accomplished that this morning. And you know, that sense, like when you have that sense of, you know, I'm glad that I did that for myself, you know, your whole mentality kind of changes to start the day. So it's, you know, from that perspective, I think that's been the change this year.
Now, what about, I know I'm just going to ask you these questions because this is so that I'm going to follow down a little bit of what the science shows, but you might not have the answers to this, but did you see any differences in appetite or any glucose response that you could identify?
Well, yeah, I'm glad you brought that one up, because it did seem to reduce my appetite, actually. Because I started doing some intermittent fasting as well over the past 6 months, and I did notice where I was consistently doing the cold baths, I wasn't as hungry until, because I'm on an 18-6 fasting schedule, but mm-hmm. I did notice that I wasn't as hungry when I do the cold baths. So that's an interesting, I don't know what the science is behind that, but I did notice that kind of in my daily routine.
Okay. Any other thoughts that you might have to share with the audience about your cold baths?
Well, yeah, sleep? I mean, just some... Just some tips and tricks.
Okay.
You know, the shower, if you don't have a bath, the shower is great. And the earlier you do it, the colder the pipes are. So that means the colder the water is. So so a 5 a.m., 6 a.m. is usually a little bit colder than a 7, 8 a.m. So, if you don't have the bath capacity, the shower is a great way of doing it. So that was one. And if you are you go kind of old school, and jump in a river or jump in a lake, if you have that opportunity, that's the best way to do it too. Especially the cold ones up in Northern California that are coming right off the glaciers. Those are fun to jump in.
Pretty nice.
And you get good reactions from the kids if you throw that in too. So.
So
that's what I would close with.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing this with us. I've got some science. I'll send you the paperwork that I wrote up, an article that I wrote up on this. I'll send it to you. So you can see some of the science between what you were experiencing. You know, there's a 200 to 300% increase in dopamine from cold baths. So you said you felt better all day.
That makes sense.
And that's real. That's documented. So here you are, more focused, feeling good, feeling better about your day. And you're saying, wow, this is nice. And it really is. And it's been very well documented. So, Joe, I want to thank you so much for sharing your experience with us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. It's a family affair.
Have a good show.
Yes, I definitely will. So I would love the audience to come and join us. The number to call is 212-209-2877. It's 212-209-2877. And let's talk about this a little bit. What they found, let's talk a little bit about the science, and let's see where we go from there. What they found, like I said, was a 200 to 300% increase in dopamine, and equivalent to if you used cocaine. The difference between cocaine and this type of dopamine high is that cocaine surges the dopamine and then it crashes down. And that's where the addiction comes from, the desire to maintain a higher level of dopamine or high more consistently. But with the cold baths, you have a very long curve and a slow release down back to normal. So you don't have the addiction other than the fact that you just want to feel good, and you want to feel good every day. And what they found is that these changes, these hormonal changes, can take place immediately. And not only is there an increase in adrenaline, which puts you more into a focused state, and dopamine, which gets you to feel well and increases your mood and helps you focus, but they also find that there's an increase in oxytocin. And what is oxytocin? Oxytocin is the love hormone, literally the love hormone. And they discovered it in rats, that when rats were put in cold water, they released this hormone. And so they did experiments on humans, and they found that they also released this hormone. So when people jump out of the water and they're shivering, they feel fabulous. And you'll see people jumping out of the water and hugging each other. Oh, yay, we made it, we made it. And just like Joe said, you're proud of yourself that you did it. It's almost, it's very similar to you feel better when it stops than even when it's happening. So they also find that it balances your insulin level. It helps balance your insulin level, lowering insulin and lowering blood glucose. So it helps you stabilize your blood glucose level by using this extreme relationship to hot and cold on your body. And I'm going to ask you again, the number to call, 212-209-2877. Give us a call and share your experiences or share your questions so that we can see if we can answer them in a way that helps you bring this therapy into your home. My nephew said something very important. Ice baths are wonderful, and these cryo rooms are wonderful also. But you can get very similar effects. You can get the dopamine increase, the adrenaline release, the oxytocin release by going into a cold shower. So all of this can be free, but it can start shifting your health. And guess what? He spoke about his immune system and his ability to resist colds and flus. Well, it has been shown that cold baths and ice baths enhance the immune system. They increase the activity of monocytes. They increase the number of lymphocytes. They increase T helper cells, which are the cells that identify the pathogens and attack them. And they increase the T suppressor cells, which then suppress the antigens. And so overall, your immune system is significantly shifted. And then we've got, as we said, the noradrenaline, which creates an increased mood. It creates increased alertness. It reduces depression, but it also increases focus. So be very interesting to see if you're not feeling your best in the daytime, if you're feeling like, oh, I don't want to, I really don't want to face my day today. Taking a cold shower, talk about simplistic, talk about free, talk about maximizing benefit with a minimized financial output. And look at cold showers. Take a cold shower and you might be much more ready to face your day and to face and help manage the stress in your life. We know that it changes the body from a parasympathetic to a parasympathetic state. So your body relaxes better. You get more circulation into your muscles. And what happens is that the muscles are our glycogen stores, our blood sugar stores. And so when we shiver, we utilize blood glucose, and therefore we're utilizing more energy. But there's something else that I want to bring up, that cold water baths stimulate mitochondrial action. And it particularly stimulates it in the brown fat, the body's brown fat stores. And we have brown fat stores generally along the clavicle, on our back, surrounding our liver, surrounding our heart. And what are these? And kidneys. And what are these brown fat stores? Why are they brown, not white like normal fat is? It's because they're filled with mitochondria. So what they are doing is this brown fat is creating energy and creating heat. We know that babies have large amounts of brown fat. Why? Because they don't shiver. Their muscles don't help them get warm. So the brown fat around their neck, you know, that little bulge in their back, right beneath their neck, that's brown fat. Those fat pads keep them warm and allow them to maintain their body temperature. Well, as people get older, the end result is they start losing their brown fat. So how do we, and as they're losing their brown fat, they're also lowering their metabolism. So how do we increase brown fat as we age? There's a few ways. Well, some of it is diet, but that's a low percentage. The other part is exercise. Exercise can stimulate brown fat to activity. And when brown fat becomes active, it starts to burn white fat. And that white fat is the fat around your belly. It's the muffin top. It's the fat under your arms. It starts to burn the white fat. And it also starts to stimulate the white fat conversion into brown fat. So here you're having this conversion taking place. And that also happens when you take ice baths. When you take colder baths, your body knows and understands that it needs more energy. It needs to produce more heat. And how does it do that? It does that through the mitochondria, through the energy cells, through the metabolism. And when that happens, your body starts revving up the mitochondria. And when the mitochondria is revved up, what happens is the stronger mitochondria start producing and pumping out energy. The weaker mitochondria break and dissolve and are replaced by stronger mitochondria. So you are literally increasing your metabolism just by using cold baths. And that's just the beginning. I have much more to share. The number to call is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. Give us a call. Share your thoughts, bring your questions, and bring your experiences. I know many of you out there are working with ice baths, and I know you have many thoughts. So let's share them with us. We want to hear them. So the driver, the brown fat acts as a driver, and it increases our body heat. It increases our energy. It increases our metabolism, with the end result that it reduces our weight. It reduces our blood sugar. So it can be very beneficial with people who have labile or brittle blood sugar that bounces back and forth. But there's a few caveats also. But before, brown fat can burn. If it's very active and it's activated, it can burn over 3,500 calories a day, which is almost more than we can eat unless we've gone to a party and we're eating ice cream and cakes and cookies, et cetera, et cetera. But it's generally more than we would eat in a daytime. So if it's more than we're eating in a daytime, then the end result is that we're burning fat. And that's a pretty cheap and easy way to rev up our metabolisms. Women have a little more brown fat than men, but at the same time, almost all the studies on cold baths have been with men. So we don't really know the effects so much with the women, but we really have a good understanding of the effects with men. And what we know is that These cold baths can act as an anti-inflammatory. But like I said, there's a few caveats. One, when we're dealing with performance athletes and athletes, you do cold baths or ice baths before you exercise. Doing them before you exercise gives you more stamina, more ability to do more reps and to get more out of your exercise. If you do it after you exercise, it can act as a suppressor, and it suppresses your body's ability to make and build muscle. But it does speed both before and after speeds your recovery time. Now, it looks like we have one caller. Hi, you're live on BAI. Hello?
Greg from Newark.
Hi.
Hello, can you hear me? Oh, hi.
Yes, I can hear you perfectly.
Okay, what would be the best time to do it? A shower or a bath, and how long should you do it? Should you do it in the morning time or in the evening?
The best time, some people do it in the evening, but generally that's not recommended because it can be very energizing. The best time is in the morning, within an hour to two after you get out of bed. The absolute ideal is to get out of bed and go into your shower, get a nice hot shower, wash yourself off, be nice and warm, and then turn on the cold. Now, for a shower, you really don't have time limits because you're not getting your whole body, you're not totally submerged, and you're not able to control the temperature in the same way. So, you do it to the level that, to the amount of time that you feel like you want to stop, literally. There's no real time limit. A bath, if you're getting in a big bath and they have these immersion tubs that maintain these cold temperatures, that you would want to do, first of all, you don't want to start too high because it's a shock to the body. You can shock your heart. So you start at a point that's uncomfortable for you, but not so much. You'll gasp. You'll go, oh, and then you'll have to catch your breath and start breathing evenly. But you don't want to be so cold that it's too much of a shock to your body. And when you do into one of those tubs with ice or the immersion cold tub, we're talking about 3 minutes. And like I said, the best time is morning or before exercise. The athletes out of Stanford, and they've changed their response times and their record times in running by taking these cold baths, these ice baths before races, and they changed the way their team was performing.
Okay. So don't do it before, when you first wake up. Give yourself an hour and then go do the cold bath.
You can do it when you first wake up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right? You can do it from when you first wake up to about 2 hours and even more, but you don't want to do it after you eat. You don't want to do it particularly. See, lots of people exercise in the morning. You can do it after you exercise, and that'll reduce some inflammation in the joints, but it'll slow down the effect that it has on your muscles to be stimulated and grow and build. You'll still have the same amount of stamina or slightly increased stamina, but You won't see the same muscle growth in the same way.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you for your call. Perfect call. The number to call is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. So let's go on. So we were talking about with the cold baths, you're increasing insulin sensitivity by increasing the energy. It acts as an anti-inflammatory to the joints. We all know that when there's an injury, you first put cold on the injury. If you put heat, you can stimulate the injury. You always put cold first to slow down the circulation. What happens when you dunk your entire body in cold? What happens is that your circulation in your arms, your legs, your feet, your hands reduces, and the blood is then directed toward the core to protect your organs. And so then your body gets used to it and it says, let me increase circulation back. So what you're seeing is that immediately there's a reduction in circulation to the extremities, an increase in the core, and then the entire body has an increased circulation, and that can last for an entire day. And what they're finding with that shifting in circulation, they're finding that the body is stimulated to uptake and create antioxidants. It acts also as a neuroprotection. So the nerves are being protected by the change in circulation and by the stimulation, because your body is being stimulated to protect itself. Bodies do well in stress. It's not extreme stress. It's the right amount of stress. And what they've found with these ice baths, that the right amount of stress is about 11 minutes a week. So that's broken up into three times. And so 3 to 4 times a week, where you're getting into these bathtubs, and then you're getting an excellent physiologic response. All these changes that we're seeing can then happen. They even see changes in the brain, whereas the LH, luteinizing hormone, is increased, and your body is then stimulated. Now, to make and adjust its hormones. Now they're talking about testosterone, and what they found is that it's irregular. It's not totally dependable, but we'll talk about sperm cells and what these cold baths do for the sperm cells and what they do for libido. And that's well documented. So, hi, you're live. Your name, please.
Am I there?
You sure are. Thanks for calling.
This is Rose from Flemington, New Jersey, and I'm always amazed at how wonderful your show is. Many years ago, when I was a young person, many years ago when I was younger, I had made a few trips to the Alps and did a lot of cross-country skiing. And then I would go swimming in those icy pools, you know, and then go for massage and stuff. I'm fascinated about this because I have a friend right now who's not as old as I am, but has been a mailman his better part of his life, and he has been dragging around weight, you know, willy-nilly, a bag of stuff. And he then moved, and he moved some furniture from one place to the next, and he overdid it. And the guy is suffering. I mean, he can't seem to rebuild his, despite the fact he's going to all the physical therapy. And I said, well, you got to do the yoga too, and let's go for some acupuncture. I have one dumb question. if you were to take a thermograph after this, would it show up as like a before and after? Can they see something like that? Because, you know, talking
a thermograph,
to me,
mean that. What do you mean? You mean the sonogram of the muscle, or are you talking about a cold bath?
I'm talking about if one were to look at, you know, somebody's in pain. Let's take this guy, and he's going for physical therapy. If he were to take a cold bath afterwards, would it show up? Have you heard of thermography where it shows hot spots and cold spots?
Yeah, in your body? I have.
Does that show up?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I haven't really
recommend
worked
that
with thermography, but I would imagine. But what I would do, first of all, for him, we don't really know what he eats or what he eats like. The ability to heal is based on proteins, B vitamins, minerals as activators of the proteins. So he needs adequate protein to be able to heal his tissue, or it just won't heal.
I'm going to have him listen to this program because he's such a wonderful mailman. I mean, the mail system now is that they expect him to run more and quicker, like an Amazon warehouse.
That's horrible. So, you really want to, like I said, you really want to, and then when he comes home, is not the best time for him to take a cold bath. The best time for him to take a cold bath would be before he goes to work.
Uh-huh.
That would be a better time because then he would be, it's almost like taking a shot of adrenaline and taking an antidepressant. And taking a hormone that just changes his mood. And it also has been shown in many cases to stimulate testosterone. So his energy goes up. So he feels better. So eating a protein breakfast, I don't think there's anything, personally, I don't think there's anything better than pasture-raised, range-free eggs. I think they're the best. And so eating that, taking a cold bath, all of those can be absolutely wonderful for him.
Well, I'm going to have him call to check out this program today because he's such a sweetheart, and I hate to see people in pain. Another stupid question.
Not stupid. Go on. Hello? Did you get cut off? I'm sorry.
I think she's done, but we have another caller.
Thank you, Reggie. Hi, you're live. Your name, please?
James.
Hi, James. How can I help you?
I have a two-part question. One is that I know that if you go into a sauna, I believe it's 179 degrees for a minimum of 20 minutes, you will get an HGH and a testosterone boost. Do you also get the same thing with the cold baths or showers? And second, if you're going to use saunas, how would you schedule in the cold baths or showers?
First of all, in terms of cold baths, I have not seen the studies on human growth hormone, whether it stimulates human growth hormone. I've seen studies where it stimulates the hypothalamus, which then stimulates the LH, luteinizing hormone, and then it stimulates the luteinizing hormone, stimulates sperm cells. Makes them more active, makes them more viable, that's quite well documented. But I do not know about growth hormone, whether it's logical but I haven't seen the study, so I can't really make that comment. And then the second part of the question is how you would use hot and cold.
How would you, if you're going to use a sauna, how would you schedule in the hot, the cold, or the cold showers or baths?
I would do a hot. And what we did, I lived in the north, and there was a sauna, and we would all go into the sauna. Then we'd run out into the snow and roll around in the snow screaming. And then we would go back into the sauna, and then we would go back out into the cold, and then we'd get dressed and go in. And so I would start with the hot sauna, go to the cold. I would rotate back and forth, and I would end with cold, though, because if you end with hot, well, if you're going to end, well, even cold will help you sleep, because it will increase your circulation. Bodies sleep better in cool environments. And that's well documented. So I would, even if you're doing it in the evening and then you're going to go to bed, I would end with cold. So, okay. You know, but that's not science, but I think that's got a lot of logic to it.
Well, you mentioned about the studies coming from the Scandinavian section of the world. Do they have any information about that, using saunas and cold baths or showers together, and in what order?
Not that I saw, but this doctor, Roberta, let me just see what her last name is. Sorry. She's done studies with the hot and cold. The Dr. Susanna Soberg has worked mostly with just cold. But both of them are from the north. And, well, I can't find it right now. But both of those, so you would have to look under that other doctor's work. You could probably look at it, not probably. You could look it up quite easily. I found it quite easily. Also,
what's their names again?
Dr. Susanna Soberg, and then there is a doctor from the who published in the Journal of Reproductive Physiology, and she was dealing with hot and colds, and so you can look that up that way.
Mm-hmm. The first person's name was spelled S as in Sam, O-B-E-R-T?
B-E-R-G.
B-E-R-G. Sober. Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for your call. The number to call is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. So, where were we at? We were at the fact that it is neuroprotective. They talk about, you've heard much about autophagia or autophagy. And what it is, it's a digestion of the old cells, the bad cells, the weak cells. And what cold baths do is they stimulate the body, similar to fasting, into a low-level state of autophagia by stressing the cells and stressing the body. And the end result is that the weak cells die. And the body then starts building up more mitochondria. So we also find that people who do cold baths have lower cortisol levels. And what happens is that the fact that they go into a lower level of stress, through the dopamine, through the oxytocin, they have a lower cortisol level. That stress that we get, oh my goodness, I've got to do this, I've got to face my boss at work, that goes down, and they're more capable of dealing with their daily life. Guess what? Reggie, is there another caller on?
Yes, yes.
Oh, this is a quick question. I just looked up. I'm having so much fun. I just realized it's getting late. Can you please give us your quick question, and I'll try to answer it as quickly as I can?
Shoe caller. You're on the air.
Well,
anytime. I guess we lost him.
So what are we talking about? We're talking about, we also realize what we've found is that the cold baths act to increase T3. That's the active thyroid hormone. Why? Because what does thyroid do? It maintains body temperature. And in maintaining body temperature, it allows enzymes to work perfectly. So here we're dunking ourselves into a cold bath. And what happens? Our body says, wait a minute, we need to maintain this energy. And there's a T3 stimulation. So our ability to regulate our intracellular body temperature is increased. We also find that our T cells, which are cells that have to do with our immune system, are increased and stimulated. And our noradrenaline is increased, our insulin sensitivity. I can go on and on for the next hour explaining how beneficial this very free treatment is. And what you want to do is slowly step into it. You don't want to do it rapidly. You don't want to have never been in a bath and then go into an ice bath. You want your temperature to be cold, uncomfortably cold, while your body gets used to it, and then you lower it a few degrees, and then you lower it a few more degrees, and you build up. Nothing too shocking, nothing too fast. And you will see incredible benefits, from energy to focus to ability to adapt, your body's ability to adapt to stress. Funny, isn't it? How this trendy little treatment has such an amazing history. I didn't expect this. When I started to do the research, I have been doing cold baths for years, but when I started a deep dive into the research, I felt, well, I'll open the show this way and go on to the main topic. But what I found was this is an entire topic about your health, about balancing your health, about your stress level. Oh, about sperm count. It increases sperm activity. It increases sperm motility. And it, in some studies, has shown increased sperm amount. And that's something very important, especially in this day and age. So I'm going to leave you with that. And I want to thank you for being here with me. Thank you for your calls. And we'll be back next week. Thanks, Reggie. So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
In conclusion, I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
For Pacifica Radio, I'm Christina Onnested. Donald Trump is set to appear in federal court in Washington, D.C. today on federal felony charges. He's